This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough. Boom. South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the
ad man. Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't. Boom! Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man, and we are back at it. Hey, it's been two entire weeks without you. How you been? It's been another couple of weeks of good, of advertising. You know, every now and then I think we throw those words around. It's been another week of good advertising. It's been a week of advertising. You know, something slipped through the cracks. We know how reviews go. but we're back at it, man. It's been I've missed you guys, man. I've missed being on this. The Triumph sounds a bit like loud now. Here we go. Triumph is not competing with me. We are back at it. It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man. Remember to hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem, at BLAXEM. If you want to chat to me, if you want to tell me what's going on, are you guys still pitching? You know what I mean. What's going on in your studio? You know what I mean. Let me know. Tell your sister to do of advertising. You know what I mean? Tell me what's wrong. What's in your heart? You know? But we got a dope show for you today. Got a fantastic guest with me in the studio. You know, he's one of those guys also like super, super prompt on time shit. You know what I mean? Like, I think he actually goes to the studio before me. You know what I mean? In fact, I know for a fact he goes to the studio before me. But you know what I'm going to do actually? I'm gonna introduce him. And then me and him are gonna chat about some stuff, and then we're gonna get straight into it, because I don't like that. Like, sometimes I feel like, you know, this hour's not as long as we all like to think, you know. So let's get into it. Let's have some chats. Let's get into pretty much everything that I want to get into. It's quite a bit, actually. So you know, if you've been in advertising for about 10 or so minutes, you've encountered this guy. You know, you've seen him on stages, and not just here locally, but internationally as well. You know, you've seen him draped in the SA flag once or twice. You know,
that's important.
That's what's up. He's got a career spanning a couple of years and a couple of awards, and one or two agencies as well. But we're gonna get into that. We're gonna chat about that. We're gonna get into what makes this man tick, and just find out what's on the man's mind. But in the studio with me today, believe it or not, is Mr. Pete Khoury. What's going on, Pete?
How are you, G? How's it going?
Hey, man. Hey, I've been trying to get you in the studio for a while now, man.
I know. Finally here, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So huge shout out to Cheza and to Sasha for making this happen.
Thank you.
Finally.
So much. Thank you.
It's been a bit. But how are you, man? How, you know what I like to ask? I like to ask in the very beginning, like what did we pull you away from? You know, what jobs are on your table right now that you had to go, damn it, why did I agree to that damn thing?
Oh, dude, you know how it is. There's always jobs on the table. Way too much going on.
Yeah.
You know, my life is taken up largely by, you know, MTN, Standard Bank, Nissan. You know, they're like our biggest clients.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope.
I mean, that's just locally.
Yeah.
Let alone all
the other stuff. Ultra, like that's just local.
Oh, you know how it goes.
Oh, man, I do. It gets really, really crazy. But you guys have obviously been like pumping out that MTN work.
Yeah, you know how it is. Telecoms accounts are massive.
Yeah.
We've got a massive retail output and through the line output, actually.
Yeah.
So, and it's always on. It doesn't matter. And then you're always reactive because
that's right.
Vodacom's doing something,
yeah.
Telcom's doing something, MTN's like tripling the price of their data, and
that's
you
got to
worry about all of that stuff. Yeah, yeah, you know how it goes. You know.
Oh man, you know, I was going to get into that, but I mean, I'm glad you bring it up. I can only imagine.
Do you know how many people are burying their SIM cards right now? That's all I'm saying.
I wanted to ask you what, like, there must have obviously been some brief that landed on your desk about that. You know, how do you react to something like that? You know,
it's challenging. You know, MTN has their business reasons for
doing it.
And We've been speaking about it for the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
They took a stand. They obviously did the numbers. They did what they needed to, and they made an informed decision.
That's right.
As much as it's upsetting for the client, I mean, for the consumers out there.
Yeah.
At least what they've done now is sustainable.
That's right.
They don't have to change it again.
Yeah.
It would have been great if they did this first off. So that
we stayed at it.
Yeah, you know.
That's great. That's fantastic. But I guess that's also where we come in.
Yeah.
Right?
That's exactly our job. Find the benefit. You
know? Exactly.
30 Rand, I mean, is it expensive, is it cheap, what is the value of that?
Exactly.
I don't know,
and also to put it
depends what you're using it for, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to use it on Pornhub, then you know what I mean.
But if you're using it to do work, and then it's
some people call Pornhub work, so I mean, who are we to judge?
You know what I'm saying? Straight up.
Yeah, man, it's your boy G Man the Airman, and I'm hanging out with Mr. Peter Gabriel Khoury, as they call him on Facebook. So if you want to chat to him, if you want to have a question for him, if you just want to know how the man ticks, give me a call.
Give
me a call. 0861-555-189. You know, don't worry, the traffic lady can't see you. And even if she can, this is Pete Khoury we're talking about.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Saying.
Call in.
Just put it on the phone. I'll sort it out.
But that's always been your approach to stuff, right? Like, I'll get things sorted out.
Oh, dude, you got to hustle. I mean, you know, it's also, so sitting on the creative circle as well, which you also sit on now. So big ups to G. He's also sitting on.
That's what's
on,
up. That's what's up, guys. Hey. I mean, I don't like to blow my own horn, but I do so well.
You know? But you know what you're trying to do.
Yeah,
trying to lead the industry from the front.
That's what's up.
All the transformation initiatives that we have on the table.
Yeah.
You know, trying to look at education, trying to look at training, trying to look at leveraging our
people
and then pushing the best work forward. But it's you got to hustle, you know.
You always got
to
hustle.
Find those sponsors.
Yeah.
Find the opportunities for you to infiltrate culture, for you to actually add meaningful.
That's right.
Conversations and a meaningful role.
Yeah.
So it's challenging, dude. You know, but hustle. It's like, I suppose for me, you make the decision. You're gonna do it. I don't care what comes up against me. I'm gonna.
It has
do
to
it.
Be done. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. I think that's some wise words. I was watching the Wimbledon final. And the Serena's match, and they were talking about how tennis is actually just a game of solving problems, right? And I kind of feel like a lot of it is exactly what we do as well. You know, like we solve business problems, yes, but a lot of the time we're navigating our way around, like, damn it, I'm in this position now. How am I going to get out of this and still make this all look good?
That's exactly.
You know what I mean? So I mean, big ups to you for still, you know, maintaining. I mean, guys, balding is a thing that happens to most people in advertising. Peter and I are there, but we still make it look good. but yeah, man, you know what I want to chat about? The Apex Awards happened the other day. I don't know. Did you go to the awards?
I didn't manage to.
Yeah, you and me both. Because we are busy. But there's some really, really cool work that won out there. So huge shout out to everybody that won at the Apex Awards.
That's amazing. That kind of work that's effective and creative.
Yeah.
You know, it adds value. The business results.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. But I mean, and that's the thing, right? A lot of the time we talk about how, like, advertising is supposed to be effective. That's what we do it for.
Of course.
Right. But it's really cool that we have an award show like that kind of. Sits on that and make sure that we do that well.
Of course.
Well, how do we answer that though when people ask us, you know, why do we have separate award shows? How do we answer it when people say, why isn't like the excellence that we say at the Lurie's, for example, kind of the same thing as the Apex? You know what I mean? What would your answer be for that? Something like that.
Yeah, it should be the same.
Like,
effective work and creative work are one and the same things. But sometimes you do get really effective work that isn't
that creative.
Because it's plugging a functional hole, if I could almost say, that doesn't exist. And just because a brand chose to do that, get ahead of a problem, provide a solution for society, it's not really, it doesn't articulate itself in communication work or, I suppose, in that world. But in many ways, it's almost like brands that choose to do that should get acknowledged and rewarded.
That's right.
And shows like the Lurie's are, you know, it's definitely creative first and it's definitely disruption first, but it's just the effectiveness of it is just important. The business results are just important.
That's right.
Everything is entwined to varying degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why they're separate.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But I do see the nuance in each show.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I suppose if it allows the nuance to thrive, because that's what makes our industry special and diverse, then that's what's needed.
And I actually agree with you completely. I think that also, you know, like if you see the judging process for Apex, you know, like if we do that with pretty much every Uluru entry, like we'd be judging the whole year. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you're right, the nuances of the fact that we have to sit down and actually, you know, acknowledge and praise every part and every turn of the process that comes with that, then Apex, I feel like there's a place for that. And so I agree completely. It makes perfect sense to me. One of my favorite pieces that won in the awards show was something that was done for Sanlam. That WhatsApp
mini drama series.
I always thought that.
No, dude, so I'll jump into that right away. I love that piece so much.
Yeah. It's a huge shout out to the guys at King James, right?
No, massive shout out.
Huge shout out.
I love that piece because what is it? Is it an ad?
Yeah.
Is it entertainment? It sits in the middle.
That's right.
It's in the future everything's going to be branded.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be doing ads, but it's just going to be branded things.
That's right.
Whatever those are. And I think this, for us in South Africa, it's the world first.
Yeah.
A WhatsApp mini drama series coming out of South Africa. It won a silver at Cannes. On any other day, I could have picked up a gold.
I'm with you completely.
On any other day.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons, they gave it a silver and they didn't push it to gold.
You know,
the jury has their reasons. But for me, it is one of the most amazing pieces that came out of South Africa last year.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it has got international recognition as well as the local recognition.
That's right. I think it's a dope piece of work. Yeah, so, like I said, huge shout out to the guys. But let's chat about Cannes, though. I want to chat about that. You were out there. Yes. I mean, you're a regular.
Sending your photos back. You found that photo I sent you 2 years ago. It's on his Facebook page. Go have a look. It's me just having a little bit of fun.
Wait. but how was it? How was Cannes for you this year? You know, and was it any different to any other all the other years you've been to?
Like, to varying degrees, Cannes does go through an ebb and flow of really amazing, impactful years, and then years where you kind of left a little bit underwhelmed.
Yeah.
This year was definitely exceptional for me.
Okay.
It felt like the world really got to grips with the trends that you kind of saw last year that were kind of starting to happen. You really saw people grabbing hold of them and getting into the guts of them this year.
Right.
It felt that brands with a lot of... brands that are getting ahead of a problem, so they can almost see a problem coming in society and they choose to take a stand before a decision's made to help influence a decision, for example. So brands that are getting ahead, becoming the moral compass for society where governments are letting people down.
We've seen a lot of
that work thrive.
Oh, like the Brazil piece, right?
Yeah, the corruption detector. I mean, in South Africa, dope. Dude, can you imagine walking around, looking at any public person's face or politician,
be able to scan their face.
Scan their face, and it gives you a history of all the corruption related articles related
too dope.
To
them. Yeah, that one made me pee a little bit.
Yeah,
I peed a little bit when I saw that. Like, woo, that's just too nice.
But technology and purpose and culture, I think brands that are playing at the intersection of that are the ones that are really doing the most interesting
stuff.
That's really dope.
I like that, and I appreciate that a lot. I feel like every time in a war show, like you said, you know, even though it has an ebb and flow, every time it feels like it's like kind of progressed the conversation, the global conversation a bit more. It's progressed the branding and the advertising conversation a bit more. Always feels good. You know what I mean?
You've seen one-to-one communication on mass channels.
That's such an amazing.
Exactly. So you'll see Skittles for the Super Bowl. They did an ad for one person.
Yeah.
That everyone else tuned in to watch that person watch that ad. Something for him.
That's great.
Like, it was crazy.
Yeah,
but I mean,
man.
You know, a big brand doing something just for one person. Or if you look at the Xbox controller stuff, so basically on Xbox, when you get a controller, you can custom make it, but you pay 50% extra.
Yeah.
People didn't want to pay anymore.
Yeah.
So what they did is that they got all the gamers to actually design these, name them, and then people could buy them. And then the people who made those consoles
get the proceeds.
Gets the proceeds out of it. I mean,
that's just beautiful.
It's amazing. One-to-one marketing using mass channels.
I love it. Yeah. You know, like when it comes to Cannes, and when you talk about the stuff that blows your mind, and there's always more than the stuff that like leaves you underwhelmed. Like, we could spend all day talking about this stuff because I think it's really, really dope. So I had some of the young people who went to Cannes last 2 weeks ago. I had them on the show, and we spoke about like the diversity in Cannes and all that. And like, you know, like I remember from the times that I've been there, it always feels like I look around and I'm just like, guys, this transformation thing is not just a South African problem. You know, like, it feels like the world over, there just aren't enough black people in advertising.
That's it.
There just aren't pe- people other than white folk in advertising. How did it feel to you today? I mean, this year, sorry. Did it feel like it got better? Do you feel like we're still grappling with that issue internationally?
It's a problem, Maggie. When you look at it around there. Like, it's not like it's completely barren.
Yeah.
But in very disproportionate pockets.
I hear you.
As South Africa, it's almost like we actually ahead of the curve compared to the rest of the world. Like, I've always had amazing women leaders that I've answered to, like exceptional.
Right.
It's never been a thing, I think, for most South Africans that whether you had a woman as a boss or not.
Right. And it was never a thing.
So the gender thing, as much as, and I'm not, like, it's still a challenge. Yeah. Like, I know other pockets of society, you know, I'm generalizing in advertising now, but it's never felt like there was an inequality with gender, if I could just say, like, at least my perception and experience. And the issues that we've been dealing with on diversity of skill set, diversity of cultural background, diversity of talent, all those things that we've been grappling with as a country for the last 20 years puts us way ahead of where the rest of the world is still trying to understand that stuff. They're just coming to terms with that now. Like, the gender thing is massive. And then they're getting into the diversity thing. If you look at people like Tim Cook, you know, luckily being part of TBWA, we do get exposed to Apple a lot.
Right.
You know, they are one of our clients with the Media Arts Lab. So one of the things that he said is, for him, he's very clear that the most successful companies in the future are going to be the most diverse.
Right.
Okay, and it's prolific coming from someone, you know, the biggest
in his
most profitable company in the world.
Yeah.
Because if you are making something, a product, and it needs to speak to Japanese people, it needs to speak to someone in Uganda, it needs to speak to someone in Brazil. Those cultural nuances and differences matter. The success of your product is going to matter on those cultural nuances.
That's right.
As we become a smaller and smaller planet.
Wow.
But going back to Cannes,
you
definitely see that. You definitely feel that it's very white. It's very American. It's very European.
Sure.
The work is also reflective of that.
Yeah.
Morocco. Won a gold. First time in their history.
Oh, dope.
So that was amazing.
Huge shout out to anybody out in Morocco listening to the show. You know what's going on.
So we are, as Africa, if I could even say, South Africa's always done well.
Yeah.
But the rest of the countries in Africa. Last year, I think YNR did some good stuff in Kenya.
With the Absolute campaign, right?
That was Native. But they also did well there. But that was more local. But there was something that YNR did with Kenya.
It was the rhino. It was the Tinder date rhino thing.
So we are doing it in pockets.
Yeah.
But I mean, just as Africa, we got a lot of growth and opportunity.
I suppose I've
just come from MTN now, from actually taking them through my learnings at Cannes and, you know, their whole CMO forum there. And, like, we've got opportunity, we've got talent.
Yeah.
I think we need to be more bold, and we got to carve out the white space for us.
Yeah.
In the areas that are not like a deal breaker in terms of business results.
That's right.
We've got to look for the opportunities in the smaller ways where we can take those risks and we can learn together as client and agency or partners to do something that then gives us more confidence to do more things on scale with bigger budgets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we keep fighting over a 30-second TV ad, for example.
That's right.
And it matters.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the internal activation thing that's going on there might be a massive opportunity to do something breakthrough.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, we got to look for those opportunities because we don't have the budgets and we don't have the access that more all those first world or American and European countries have, you know?
I think you also bring up a really, really important point, and I think that it's something that we've all spoken about for a while, the idea of how important it is to get clients at awards shows, right? I know that the Lurie's has always been making a concerted effort for a couple of years now to start awarding, you know, the client of the year. And how important is it, do you think, for clients to experience Cannes, you know, like not necessarily, I mean, if they can go there, obviously, I mean, it's not cheap, but if they can go there, that'll be first prize. But how important is it, do you think, that clients immerse themselves in what happened at Cannes or what we all experience when we go to Cannes? How critical do you think that is?
It's exceptionally important.
Yeah.
It's exceptionally important for us to know where the rest of the world is.
Yeah.
Where the trends are, where they're playing at.
Yeah.
Because from our vantage point, we can opportunistically capitalize on it or learn from it.
That's right.
Or do our own thing inspired by it, or completely zag.
Yeah.
But it gives us a contextual point that we know what we need to beat.
Yeah.
Or you know what's out there.
That's right.
And it's the world is diverse. There are so many, you know, South America and a lot of the problems that they go through are very similar to Africa and South Africa.
Yeah.
A lot of the solutions and the business solutions and the creative ideas that are celebrated at Cannes are massively impactful on culture and society. And South America, Africa could be the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I hear what you mean.
Of learnings. And then there's the stuff that's a little bit ahead of us, you know, in terms of the technological advancements in the US and China, for example.
Yeah.
We kind of got to figure out our own in that way.
Yeah.
Or capitalize on what's already there and disrupt it or hack it.
That's right.
So many, you know, you look at clients like Burger King that, I mean, I think the CMO and most of the guys at David in Miami are... They banned from Twitter. They banned from Wikipedia because they hack all those platforms.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the net... If anyone hasn't seen the net neutrality campaign that they did, go look at it.
Yeah.
As a burger brand, I mean, they had no reason to jump into that conversation.
Yeah.
But they knew it was in their customers' interest. So they did.
So they jumped in.
And they made it completely digestible to their consumer as they walked into Burger King to actually know what it was, and the bull got repelled.
Yeah.
So they made a meaningful difference to society by doing it.
You shout out to the guy, David. David is also where Mlu works.
Yeah, there's it.
Yeah.
And hey.
What's going on?
Yeah, and he's doing good as well. Yeah, I saw him in Cannes. He was there. So.
Yeah. He's having a good time, man. He's having a good time. But I mean...
Just to say, there are a few clients that come from South Africa.
Yeah.
There was a large contingent of clients, South African clients that were there this year. So that was very encouraging to see.
Yeah.
And I do think clients are putting more and more value into these, especially into the likes of Cannes, because the business results are clear.
Yeah.
The research that's going into the combination of great disruptive work, living to your brand belief, and playing a meaningful role in culture, like the disproportionate brand equity that brands are getting is so much different to brands that aren't.
I hear you. Yeah, man. I think it's really cool and it's really critical for me. Like I said, even with Lurie's, for brands to for clients also understand that it's not just a creative fest. It is creative led. In that we're all there to look at amazing creative work of different spheres. Like there's the health day and there's the pharma innovation. Yeah. So I think it's important that they understand that it's not just we're not just going there to dance with French girls. You know what I mean? Or Jeff Bezos with Polish girls, high Polish girls. But I think it's critical to understand the all round nature of how important that is, and obviously, you know, from what you're saying, it's clear to me that, you know, even in the TBWA group, the idea of diversity is obviously very, very key to you guys.
Massively. You know, and it's not a destination.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
And you do all the changes that you can make.
And your team here as well. Big up to all that kind of thing.
Sweet. Yeah. And like, we're trying as much as possible.
Yeah.
We're not perfect.
Of course.
But in terms of skill set, very diverse. I have someone studying for his PhD in unmanned reconnaissance. I can't even say
those drone guys.
No, those fucking drone guys. But it's like, I don't even know that, dude. It's like what he's doing. But it's amazing to have a mind like that in the agency. We've also got an innovation department, which we're figuring out.
Yeah, that's how
to make it
work
and what to do. But we do that as much as possible. And then in terms of talent, we try and mix it up as much as possible, you know?
That's dope. I like that a lot. And you know, like, I think that, you know, it's also critical that we get every department in the agency involved in the creative vision. You know what I mean? And I think one of the first departments that I think everyone kind of knew we had to pull closer was the strategy department.
Yeah.
You know, just to make them understand that, you know, like, you know, you play a critical part in this whole thing. And then, though, what happens sometimes, like, then I heard of this new term called a creative strategist.
Yes.
Right? Beautiful. Like, I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means? Please tell me what that means.
Like, can I tell, firstly,
the
best creatives I know are also the best strategists.
That's what's up. Yeah.
And the best strategists I know are also the best creatives.
No.
I hear you.
There
are some amazing strategists out there, you know, strategists like Prinav and Pillay.
Yeah, shout out Prinav. What's going on?
Kirsten Liu.
Hey, what's going on? There's a whole list.
There are. I mean, those are just two that I know
that I
can definitely vouch for
and
say that they play as much a role in the creative product as they do in the setup and
That's
how
right.
to sell it and the strategic thinking that goes into it. And it's important, you know, you got to be honest with each other.
Yeah.
You there's, like John Hunt always says it, but everyone is equal before the idea. And it's important. It can come
that
from
so
anyone.
Dope. That's so dope. You see, know? That's why he's also John Hunt, guys.
Yeah, he's this shit like still, that. You know he whips his pearls at you every now and then, you know. I don't get to see much, you know. He's still doing a lot of his global stuff, but every now and then.
He just comes in and drops one.
Yeah, just drops one of those and then, you know, leaves that with you for a few months. Ponder that one, Mr. Curry.
I like that. That's so fucking cool, man. Shout out to Mr. John Hunt.
Yeah,
man, that's fucking dope. So I think it's really critical, man. But here's what I want to chat about now. Cool. So now recently, the past couple of months, you were voted as the chairperson, the new chairperson of the Creative Circle.
Yes.
You shout out to that, Mr. Guys, Mr. Pitcourt, is there anything he can't do, guys? You know what I mean?
Oh, dude. That's a second job, dude. Sure, it's hard.
How's that been? How have the first couple of months been for you?
You know what? Kulisa left it in a very good place for me. So he was the previous chairperson.
Shout out Mr. Tishana, what's going
on? There's that. Yeah. But because we managed to combine with the Lurys, and what I mean is just from a back end. So right now we administration heavy.
Yeah.
So not heavy, but we can sort out all that stuff.
Yeah.
Where before it was a challenge. So while you were challenged administratively, you couldn't really get on with the agendas that came to actually running and leading.
Yeah.
So because a lot of that stuff has been sorted out and I don't have to focus on it as much because it kind of runs itself.
Yeah.
It allows me or gives me the opportunity to look at how we can transform the industry,
right.
How we can add value to our people, how we can add value to our product, and how we can add value to perception of what people think about our industry. So, you know, we had a Twitter feed, I suppose. We are a lot more active on the social channels now.
Yeah.
So we've started an Instagram page. It's up and running. We're going to get into the grips of it. It's going to be shared with all our member agencies. You'll see a lot of cultural content coming out of there.
Yeah.
But that's Creative Circle SA. And then there's a Facebook page as well, which we started during Cannes. So it was giving you live updates on everything that was going on.
Yeah.
Partnering with the right people. So playing a much more meaningful role.
That's right.
You know, we were absent from those channels before. And then this Full Circle event that we're doing in July.
Tell us about that. I want to chat about Full Circle.
So what I've learned is every time I go to Cannes, as South Africa, we really come together.
Yeah.
And we take on the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, we finished 12th.
That's dope. That's dope, actually. That's fucking impressive.
And we always skirting in the top 10 there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's what we seriously outpunch our weight.
Yeah.
But like that being said, what was I talking about?
You're talking about Cannes, Full Circle.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
So, like when we come back.
I got you, Pete.
Sorry, dude. I get distracted.
Yeah. Sasha just threw him a look, guys.
No, but like when you go there, as South Africa, we really come together and we take on the world. And we speak a lot there. But when we come back, we've got a lot of people that represent South Africa on the juries. But we all come back to our separate companies and we share our knowledge with each of our companies and we move on. Where what we've never done is come back as a country and collectively let all the people that represented South Africa take the industry through all that work and all that experience of what they learned. So it's not just going through a showreel.
Yeah.
It's going through a showreel with insight.
That's right.
I've seen what the jury spoke about and what really mattered and made an impact in that work.
Yeah.
You know? And those things matter. They matter because in the detail is where we really get to chisel and craft our stuff.
Yeah.
So to actually come back and share that with the industry is something that I really felt very strongly about that I wanted to try to do.
That's
and
excellent.
Yeah, we're doing it. So it's the 25th. I mean, we sold out. We sold out after a week or week and a half. So next year I know we'll make it over 2 days.
Yeah.
I've done a simulcast in Cape Town and we got a simulcast next to us for students for free.
So that's the part I wanted to get into. I think that's phenomenal. I think that's really, really cool. And a huge shout out to the Creative Circle for acknowledging the need for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But so here's what I wanted to know. Like specifically, what is the relationship that the Creative Circle is trying to build with the ad schools? Or is there some kind of like link that we're trying to build with the students and all the ad schools?
Like not as active as I'd like it to be,
right.
Like that's something that's a work in progress that we're gonna have to sit down as a board and figure out. Because that kind of stuff is very admin heavy. It's time consuming. So we got to figure out a way that we can add meaningful value in a sustainable way.
Right.
For me, it's not about making sure that, like, I've got 2 years at this and I've got to do what I've got to do this year with the help of all you guys. But next year's another year. And
that's right.
For bigger challenges. Once we've kind of ironed out all the ones of this year. And beyond my chairmanship, the next person should hopefully take those agendas on. So
that's right.
I think with the ad schools, especially in copywriting, you know, copywriting is the biggest, it's sure, you know, it's I think there were two people at one of the colleges this year that, yeah. that actually went into it.
Sure.
It's a massive, gap. Yeah, it's a massive gap
there.
And as Creative Circle, I'd love to try and play a much more meaningful role, especially in the copywriting, because it's such a important
function in what we
in what we do. So I don't know. I think those are things that, you know, they're on our agenda, and it's something that we're going to be looking at like closely. For me, I suppose this year was more about consolidation.
That's right.
Putting ourselves out there so people know we are, making sure that our presence is consistent and people know what we are about.
That's dope. That's dope, man.
And then next year, we'll get into hopefully all of that stuff.
Yeah. I get the feeling you've got like a lot of dope plans for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's obviously quite a ship. You know, but a ship that's obviously very willing as well. You know what
it
I mean?
It is. I can only do what the rest of the board members allow me to do, and what they're also willing to do. And
that's right.
Right now, I mean, we have 21 people that sit on our exco board. So it sounds pretty massive, and it sounds like it should be dysfunctional.
Yeah.
But what we've managed to do is break ourselves into subcommittees, and that's the subcommittees get on with what they need to get on with. So certain people will look after events. Certain people will look after the social channels. Certain people will look after the curation of the award shows, you know?
Yeah, man.
And certain people look after the learning and the nurturing of younger talent. And that's the way that we worked, you know? We do for our main sponsors, Liberty and AB InBev. Thank you for that.
Hey, huge shout out to Liberty and AB InBev. What's going on?
You know, they've supported us and they see the value, but the value that we give them every year is that, you know, 3 or 4 times a year we go in and we do these events for them.
Yeah.
Or we'll do these talks.
And
they get to hear from some of the leading creative minds in the country. I mean, they get access to them.
That's
what they get out of their sponsorship, you know. And their clients, that is making a meaningful difference to their business. I know we call them revolution sessions. The last one was hosted by Fran from Grey.
Yeah, shout out Fran Luckin. What's up?
It.
Another friend of the show.
And she managed that one for us, and it was hugely successful. I know the guys at ABMB have really liked it, and we'll do a lot more like that.
Yeah.
So it just shows we're trying to play a role within our clients, within the industry, and within the learning environment. To varying degrees of success.
Exactly.
But it's a work in progress.
That's so dope. You know, Pete, you know what I like hearing? It sounds to me like you've got this whole balance figured out between the admin guy and the ad guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it obviously had to take some kind of like rejigging and readjustment in your head. Cause you know, like, it feels like you do it naturally now. You know, like, did you have to like rejig some things in your head in order to be able to manage these things so masterfully?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, sheesh, G, I've been doing this now for, I think, 19 years.
That's what's up, man. Guys, this G-Man, the Ed-Man, I always bring you the best. I bring you the veterans, the pre-veterans. Sure. I bring you everybody, guys.
But it's getting thrown in the deep end throughout my career. So, I was very shy. I'm introverted by nature. Like, my copywriters used to present the work. I would panic.
Yeah.
I would think about the fact that, oh shit, I'm actually up here and I'm speaking. Oh shit, people are looking at me.
It'll freak you out.
Yeah, you know. But you have to challenge yourself in that way. You have to put yourself into the positions that allow you to grow.
Yeah.
And you can do it in small ways. You don't have to do it in the massive ways. But it's important that when the big opportunity comes or the big challenge comes, you're readier for it.
Yeah,
you know?
So that's right.
Your creative director can't make a meeting and you have to go present to client. Okay, grow the fuck up.
Let's go.
Do what you gotta do, you know? and that's how you learn. For me, like, I was at Huntley Scarris for 7 years. I left. I freelanced for a bit. I got to see the lay of the land.
Right.
And then I started.
Oh, is that where you started? You started Huntley Scarris?
I was there for 7.5 years. Yeah. I left, and then I managed to... I got a call from Paul Warner back in the day when I was like, hey, dude.
Shout out Mr. Paul Warner. What's going on? You know? What's going on? Hey.
It was starting Metropolitan Republic and went there. And that is probably the biggest growth curve that I had in terms of business. Because I went in there as, you know, I was a shareholder as well. And running that business along with Paul and trying to actually make it profitable and do amazing
That's
work.
Right.
It was prolific for us in the first few years.
Yeah.
We didn't make much money.
Yeah.
But we made amazing,
amazing work.
Amazing work.
Yeah.
Really some of the most epic work that I've ever made. Yeah. And
is it great to look back and call it that now and say, we didn't make much money, but we made great work. Yeah. But at the time, you're probably also panicking.
No, completely.
Yeah.
But we made the money
That's right.
a few years later.
That's right.
We learned from our mistakes.
They made the money.
Yeah. No, but you... no, not like that. You were profitable.
I hear you.
But like, we got to a place where you got the balance right between things.
You know?
And that's what's important. But there was a time where Paul actually got asked to step off the MTN account by a certain client.
Yeah.
And it was challenging because what could have happened is we could have
capitulated.
Metro could have basically fallen apart, and all that work probably would have gone back into, I think it would have been Jupiter Drawing Room at the time there, because we were kind of like in a bit of a partnership back then.
Yeah,
and the pressure was on me. I had to rise to the occasion, and I had to lead from the front, like 40, 50 people's livelihoods depending on me.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge that I rose up to. And
that's phenomenal,
and
man.
I managed, but it was massively challenging, probably the most challenging part in my career.
Yeah.
But that's what you're faced with. If you chicken shit about actually doing it, you're never ever going to grow.
I absolutely believe that.
I had a lot of support and I had a lot of challenge. And because, like, if I had too much challenge, I wouldn't have grown. And if I had too much support, I wouldn't have grown.
That's
right. But because I was almost at the intersection of challenge and support, I managed to get the growth that I needed.
That's
out of
dope,
that,
man.
That, and then coming to Hunt Lascaris after that, it was a very different challenge because
is Hunt the kind of place where like you always come back?
It's, do you know what the values of that, everything that I learned at Hunt, we took to Metro.
Ah, right. And yes. Like, so it's like you never left.
That's my university. Like now I'm back to lecture. If
there
you want to call it
that, is. Yeah. He started already. His own book of gems.
No, but it is almost. It's. I love that place. And it's always going to be idea led and it's always going to be the best work led. So
that's right.
Everything else has to kind of find its place.
Yeah.
Behind the idea.
Yeah.
And there's not many agencies that can confidently say that right now, even in South Africa, because business challenges are what they are. Sometimes you got to make a decision and your decision isn't always on the work, it's on something else. For us, we've always prided ourselves on that, and that's because we've being consistent with it, it becomes something that we can stand by and live up to.
But it was so
challenging, G, coming back there, because it's from starting a company from fresh and growing that into something that was amazing to then leaving to go to another opportunity or another massive challenge that it is an agency that's been around for 30 odd years and there's a lot of stuff that needed to be brought into the 21st century.
Right.
But you're dealing with internationals now and you're dealing with bureaucracy in a certain way.
So
that's a reality of all our big companies. Actually figuring that out and working through that and working with people and just eating a little bit of that pie day by day can put me into a space where it's been 4 years now and I can say we've made a massive difference.
That's dope.
But we're on the journey. We know we're near the destination. Yeah. But it's good to see that in 4 years, look, if it was a smaller company, it may have taken 2 years to do.
Yeah.
But we've done it. We've done what we needed to do, and it's good steps forward, but still a long way to go.
That's dope.
Why it's still fulfilling, because it's challenging, you know?
And I guess also it takes like dope partnerships as well, you know? So I'm sure you work really close with Karabo.
Completely.
What's that been like, you know? And how does that dynamic kind of shape the kind of stuff that you guys do and the conversations you have with clients?
Like, we both the same age.
Shout out Karabo T. What's going on, my man? What's up?
We have the same values.
Yeah.
Same age, same values, same ambition.
That's right.
Same purpose, same reason why we're both there.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
We're not there to just do business.
Yeah.
We're there to do amazing, epic shit.
Yeah, man.
For our clients and to show the rest of the world that it's all going down here in the RS of A.
That's what's up.
So, like, we hardly disagree
on
anything when it comes to the running of the business.
Yeah.
On creative work and that,
of course,
you know, you have your healthy conversations about stuff.
Exactly.
But most of the time, and that's what's made it successful, is that we sing off the same hymn sheet when it comes to what we stand for and what we're aiming for here. You know?
That's so dope, man. Yeah. I think that's what you really do.
No, it's so important to have that, right? Because there's a lot of people that I've met that they've just haven't had that type of
partnership. The team, essentially. And I mean, speaking of the broader team, then there's all these other guys. And I mean, you're surrounded by, like, you know, a bunch of guys also that have like amazing achievements all of their own accord.
Completely.
You know, that running with the team like that on its own must be a challenge. Must be the gift and the curse as well, right?
Yeah. They're amazing. You got to keep them inspired. You got to keep giving them opportunities or make sure that those opportunities are flowing.
Yeah.
But it's my job as a creative leader and also as a leader in the agency to make sure that you provide an environment where it's safe for clients to make bold decisions.
That's right.
And for them
to do
that kind of work because they trust you.
Yeah.
You know, you present work that is not just cut through in terms of what it can do creatively, but the business angle on it is solid.
Yeah.
That strategically clients can see how they can leverage it. You know, you got to think about it as a responsible creative to what you're trying to do if you want them to take the bold steps with you.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it does come down to sometimes a client saying, you know what?
No.
I'm fucking doing this thing.
I hear you.
I'll give you an example. Blood Normal, do you know that campaign? So basically, it's something in the UK that AMV did. Basically, they showed blood for the first time in pad ads.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Right? I remember that, yes, yes.
Like, massively...
contentious issue. Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of support and a lot of challenge on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, for them, it was... as a client, if I can almost say, they've been working on this for 2 years. Last year, it was asked.
Yeah.
Their client had legal opinions saying... They even had brought in Peter Filia into it to try to build the case. The agency then got in their own lawyer.
Yeah.
They kind of spoke about it, and it was almost like a stalemate.
Sure.
But what it came down to at the end of it was a client on the client side...
Yeah.
That actually came down to an email that a client said, you know what, I'm probably going to lose my job for this, but just do it. And that client did it because they believed in it.
Wow.
And I mean, they've seen the rewards for it now because it was purposeful and it meant something.
Exactly.
The client knew it was important. Yeah. You know? But sometimes it still does come down to that. It comes down to your one client that really gets it, that almost went with you on a half-baked idea because they saw the potential in it. And let's go with it, as opposed to the things that ticks the boxes.
Yeah.
You know
Do you still think we have a lot of those out there, Pete? I mean, to be honest, I mean, it's a tough question to ask because we all deal with clients all the time, and we'd all love for them to be. I don't like using the word brave because historically that's been used as a term to make clients make weird decisions, right? But like, do you still think we have those gut clients out there?
You do still have them, but they're few and far between.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
Like I can name them on my hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can name them now. If you want them to.
Let's go. I want to hear some names.
I'm not going to say all of them, but like working with Enzo, Squarcella.
Yeah, man. Huge shout out to Enzo. I mean, I've worked with him as well.
Yeah. You know, dude, he goes with it. You know, he gets it all.
He
gets the PR, he gets the media, he gets the creative, he gets the strategy, and he can give you great feedback on it all, but he'll take the risk and he'll debate with you and he'll challenge you on it. But you'll go with the boldest piece of work that you have.
Yeah, yeah. No, you without know? A doubt.
People like Sarami, Tokobang, who I used to work with as well.
You said Sarami, what's up? What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, that Ayoba campaign that we did work together, I think now he's back at Telkom. So he's my competition. Yeah. You know? But he's an amazing marketer. Yeah. You know? And like, he really does have that intuition and he knows...
Yeah.
He can feel it. He can feel it in the air.
But I mean, I guess also, even that's a huge relationship, right? And I guess, you know, like, especially with creatives, there's a lot of these, there's still this conversation about, you know, the role of account management, right? In making sure that relationship is so clean and so transparent that you guys can understand each other at the point of, look, I know we're not doing something that you'd normally do. How critical has your account management team been to how you deal with people like Enzo?
So let me put it this way. Yeah. When they're not operating at the level that they should, it's chaos. It's all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
You don't know what you... like, everything's getting misaligned.
Yeah.
When your account management work, like, they care about it as much as, I suppose, a creative does.
Yeah. Taking ownership of the work as well, right?
Completely, dude.
Yeah.
As we all are. We're a team doing this thing together. You know? It's all about how we hand over from one another.
That's
and
right.
how involved we let it... because everyone needs to feel ownership of it. And everyone needs to feel part of the team if you want them to act and behave that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a thing that we do, you know.
Yeah.
There's really no airs and graces about anything.
Yeah,
like, we really try. But when it does come down to an idea and I feel it's been compromised, that's just where I put my foot down on
things. Yeah.
But besides for that, dude, it's free for all. I want as much participation and talking about things to make sure that what goes forward is the best.
That's so
and
dope.
The best account management people are the people that get that.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's fucking dope. So I mean, it leads me to my next question. So I mean, for the students out there, for everybody else who's sitting at other agencies who feel like, wow, maybe it's time to move. What does it take to be sitting in front of a Mac at Hunter Scars? You know, like what is it? Yeah, like, what kind of person gets to make it in that seat at Huntless Cars?
If you are not self-motivated, you will never, ever succeed at Huntless Cars.
Right,
because you will just be a passenger and you'll get nowhere.
Okay.
Like, eventually, you'll leave.
I
don't know what I'll be able to do with you.
Yeah.
Because you can be so talented.
Yeah.
But if you're not self-motivated, if you're not a forager, if you're not looking for opportunities where opportunities aren't, because they're not always going to be given to you, especially as a junior.
Exactly.
You're going to come in, you're going to learn... and you have to learn how to do this craft. So
you're
going to get all the jobs. Some opportunities, but a lot of the schlock work because you need to understand how this all works.
Absolutely.
But same worked for me. But when you are working on that, you've got to find the space for you and you got to get involved in the projects that you can
yeah.
to actually, you know, lift your career up.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. If you're not self-motivated, you'll never look for that.
Yeah, that's
and
that's so
all
true.
The people that are self-motivated thrive at Huntless Corus completely. You know? Talent, of course, is yeah. is a no-brainer. And also the fact that I don't like having a culture that is a very particular or boxed in thing at Huntless Growers. I like having a big mix of everything.
Right, right.
So
right.
the fact that you are opinionated and you out there and you're also introverted and yeah. you're quiet and you are whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's about making it a melting pot of everything.
That's so dope.
So man. I really love that. And I love, like, the more fucked up you are, the better yeah. for me. The more of a misfit you are, yeah. the better. The more you want to challenge conventions, the better.
Yeah,
you
that's know? So dope.
I'll help channel you and yeah. funnel that into stuff that can really make an impactful difference to your career and to yeah. the work that we do for
that's
clients.
So dope.
But yeah, you got to come with it.
So you students out there, you heard the man. Yeah. Are you hiring? I think they're always hiring. Huntless Corus is always hiring, guys.
If the talent is there and it's amazing,
yeah.
we always look.
That's what's up. So hit them up. Hit them up, guys. They've also got an amazing bar with an amazing view of Joburg and Sandton. So go out there and go find them. But yeah, man, I think I was almost up, man.
It just flies
by, man. But I think we've had an amazing chat. I just think that, you know, it's critical that you know, we get people like you in the studio. Because I think a lot of the time, and that's kind of the need I felt for the show, it's kind of go, you know, people kind of hear these people's names, mm-hmm. you know, see these people's names on awards credits, but never actually get to see what makes the man tick. You know what I mean? And I think, thank you so much for coming to hang out.
Dude, my pleasure, dude.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Anyway, I can... Look, I really want to try and make a difference for yeah. the time that I have left in this industry.
That's what's up.
That's why I suppose this chairman or chairpersonship role is so important at Creative Circle,
because yeah.
it sets up something. But yeah, dude, the more, I think there's a lot of people like me that will do as much as they can to add the value. And
yeah.
Yeah, giving the exposure and helping the youngins out there to actually see, okay,
yeah.
it's not that crazy and you can just be normal or yeah. you can do it like this or this. Or everyone's got their challenges. It just
yeah,
makes it
man.
Easier. Yeah,
that's so dope. That's so dope.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming to hang out, man. Guys, it's been another dope show. G-Man, the ad, man.
Thank you, G.
And remember to get this podcast. I think you want to get the podcast downloaded from the app. Get the app first, right? And get downloaded from the app, you know, because that might help. Yeah, but played around your studio. You know, I think Pete also said some things that your CD might need to hear. And
challenge them on it, eh?
That's what's up. That's what's up. And then, you know, yeah, played for your moms. We didn't swear too much.
I'll try to be measured.
Yeah.
Generally, the first word I say is yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but thank you. Thank you for keeping it mom safe for us. But I think, yeah, man. I think, once again, like I say every week, you know, take care of yourself, take care of those briefs, but most importantly, take care of each other. It gets really rough out there. The Ed game can chew some people up. But take care of each other, and that's really, really cool. And like I say every week as well, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom!
Right,
it's your boy,
now.
G-Man, the ad man. Shout out. Thanks, Pete.
Cheers, G.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I
yeah.
know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom!
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
This is clipcentral.com.